Hello, hello, hello. Season two. This is very exciting. We have a new podcast studio. Jame and I are back. And as you can see, this adorable man sitting between us is none other than Mr. Dave Munnings from England. And Dave is here because he was just teaching a seminar for us on the weekend, which was so fun.
It was.
Yep. And we have been trying to do it for quite some time, except COVID was
got in the way,
preventing us from being together. Anyways, we thought we would take advantage of starting season two off with some topics and
with this guy.
Yeah. Have Dave be involved because as we've discovered through our talking over the weekend, we have extensive talking. We have some opinions on some things and normally they're pretty similar. Thank goodness. So I'm really looking forward to it. What we wanted to start off season one talking about was like attitudes and agility, people's attitudes, not so much dogs' attitudes. We've talked about dogs' attitudes. Yeah. And how that it can affect the dog, how that it can affect other people around you, how that it can affect, your coach as well, and just, you know, things to think about. I think it's interesting to have the perspective of like what happens here in Canada versus what happens in England, because I think maybe we'll discover today that there's some differences, but
definitely some similarities.
That's what I was going to say. I think I'm going to guess there's probably going to be a lot of similarities. So why don't we start off by talking about not so much like human to human thing, but let's talk about like people with their dogs and their attitudes and how they can affect it. We can talk about the positive side of things maybe first. So it's good to start off the positive. We can even talk about this weekend as an example, because
I was going to start with that. Definitely.
The vibe over the weekend, I think, was pretty awesome. And
so good. Yeah. I loved all of it.
Yeah. And affected the dogs quite well.
And the handlers.
Yeah.
And their confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think that there's a difference between like people's attitude when they're training and at a seminar and then also at like a competition. So let's talk about like people's attitudes at seminars or class or training. Like take the competition aspect aside, because that's like that'll be another wormhole that we can go down after. What would you say is the... What was the thing that you noticed the most about this weekend in terms of like people's attitudes towards their dogs or towards each other, I guess?
I think both. It was such a great atmosphere the whole weekend. I think you picked a lot of very good people for the seminar, which I was very happy about. It helped me out a lot. But, you know, everyone was so happy. Everyone really wanted to learn. They were so up for everything I set. The challenges, they didn't walk the courses going, oh my God, this is too hard. They walked up with it like, oh, this is hard, but I really want to give it a go. Mm-hmm. And they just came out every go with such a positive attitude. And it just, the whole atmosphere, the whole weekend was great because of it. And that just affected.
Whichever. No one's infecting anyone. No. Just sometimes I don't say things correctly.
It would just affected everyone else, because then everyone had the same attitude. Whereas if you get some seminars, and I do a lot of seminars, there's an odd person with a negative attitude. It can just affect everyone else around them. So this weekend was perfect in my eyes for how happy everyone was and how much fun everyone had. It was just great, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And the support.
Yeah, everyone supported each other. That is a massive thing. So many times, you know, I'm there clapping, going, whoa, it's amazing. And then people at the side just on their phones, doing something else, and not even watching other people. And I hate that. It just makes it so much less fun.
Mm-hmm.
Also, though, when things didn't go right, like, we were able to laugh about it. It took the pressure off of it.
Oh, mm-hmm. It does. You know, I like to laugh, especially when it goes wrong, because I find it hilarious. And one hand is going that way, the dog's shot off 20 miles that way. I think, ha, hilarious.
That happened to me.
And you're still going that way, I'm like, your dog's gone over there.
Yep. I think that as you guys are talking, I think that one thing that makes a big difference in that is like how vulnerable somebody can be in terms of like stepping out and being okay with it be going wrong when they go out there, because I think sometimes that can be really scary. Either they're
intimidated,
they want to do well, they don't like being wrong, or sometimes people think that they're better than they are, mm-hmm. and then they go out and they have a very rude awakening, and how they respond to that can be really different.
But the pressure of the seminar too can lose the handler's focus, right?
So much. Mm-hmm. I think so many times people come up to it, I was so nervous before the seminar, I was so scared to meet you. I'm like, you know, it's just me. To me, that's just me.
You make it easy, though.
But I want to, I love that. I don't want people to be coming scared. I want them to come in with that confidence of, I'm going to really go for it and try it. And that's why I just try and create that atmosphere of just being, you know, a normal human being and just mm-hmm. having a laugh with everyone.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes people push, though.
Mm.
That's what
I want.
That's
what I want.
Yeah.
Just try the hardest. That's all I care about. Like, you know, of course there's gonna be some people that are better than other people, and some dogs that are better than other dogs, just whether they've been trained better or they're just naturally better. But it doesn't matter. The whole point is you get the best out of your team. That's what's important. You're not competing against everyone else, you're competing against yourself. I just want to get the best that you can get.
Yeah.
How do you think somebody could, that maybe if like people who are listening, maybe they feel like they struggle with like being vulnerable, what would you say, how could you teach somebody to be more vulnerable so that they could actually go to this type of thing and get more out of the situation?
To be less vulnerable or more vulnerable?
To be more vulnerable, like
to be okay with it.
Yeah, because if it's not your nature to like, maybe you're not confident, or maybe you're like I was thinking about this selfishly about myself, because, and you know, all three of us are in the same boat. We've all been on world teams. We've all taught for years. We're all very good at agility. Great. Whoop, whoop. However, one thing that I think we all share, and I think it's something that allows us to get along so well, is we all want to keep growing and getting better all the time. We never ever say, well, I know everything and that's it. We have an ability to be vulnerable. I'm able to go to a seminar with you, even though I know lots, and I'm absolutely okay with shit in the bed because I know, because I want to grow.
Yeah.
But I don't really know why I'm like that. So that's sort of what my question is, like, how could we help someone to be more like us? No, just kidding.
Absolutely perfect.
You know what
in
I mean?
Every way.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think that it would be really helpful if more people adopted that attitude, because A, you're having more fun, and B, you will grow because you're not so hung up on stuff.
I think you have to be okay with being wrong.
That exactly. People, you've got to be okay with failing. Mm-hmm. The same with dogs. Not all dogs can fail very well. It's the same with people.
That's so true.
That is a big part of being a good coach, is being able to see those people and maybe set them up for more success. Mm. So maybe give them a shorter sequence, or just say, try this handling option first. Or, you know, if you see they fail, don't let them fail. Don't just say, right, go again. Say, okay, let's just work on this bit. Let's just work on that bit. Where lots of trainers would go, okay, from the start, those make you go again and again, to almost it goes right by accident. Mm-hmm. And then the dog's tired, the handler's tired, mm-hmm. and it's just a bad atmosphere then after that, because everyone's just, it's not going well.
Yeah.
Because I want to, you know, the same with dogs. I want one or two failures max before I'm going to make it easier. Mm-hmm. I'm going to break something up, and I want the successes. Mm-hmm. I want them to fail. Mm-hmm. I set my courses for failure, because I don't want everyone just to come and get everything right. It was going to be boring.
Yeah, what's the point
then? I set the
courses. But you varied the challenges.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some bits were easier, some bits were harder. You know, certain bits I really wanted to test that I knew were going to be hard for everyone. But I think it's definitely down to the trainer on anything that they set up for lots of success as well.
Mm-hmm. I also think that's what makes a good coach, is somebody that is able to read their student that comes out and say, I don't think that this person, I think this person needs to have more wins than not, or
they're feeling overwhelmed right now.
Yeah. And like, I know that's Jame and I teach together all the time. There's lots of times where like, I'll teach somebody and they didn't really have a good go in my side. And then like very quietly, I'll go over to Jame and be like, so-and-so needs like more wins, because that my side was really hard.
Yeah, we do the same.
Yeah. And I think that makes a great coach, but I also think that allows people to feel more comfortable in their learning so that they actually do have some type of success.
And some people,
we always say that the dogs need wins, but I think the handlers need wins too.
Yeah.
100%. I think some people do just come to seminars to almost show off. They want to come, show what they can do, they don't really want to learn. And they're the people that actually create a bit of a bad atmosphere sometimes, because when it does go wrong, they're then really disappointed because they just want you to come and show everyone what they could do.
Yeah.
And I just don't particularly like teaching those type of people because it's much harder because they just start getting irritated. Mm-hmm. And then when I start feeling someone's getting irritated, it makes me a bit stressed, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I do try and just calm it all down. I say, come on, let's just figure it out. Let's just work through it. We get it right. It doesn't matter. It's gone wrong. It's meant to go wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only way you're learning. Mm-hmm. If it comes and all goes right, then what's the point of being there?
Yeah. I think that's a good segue into how someone's attitude can affect like other people that are there. I think atmosphere is huge. That's something that we are very proud of at our school. The atmosphere that's generally there is very, very good.
Very good.
Which I think makes it easier for people to learn. Mm. But I think that can be really difficult. If you have one or two bad apples,
yes,
the trickle effect can be pretty
toxic,
can be pretty massive. Mm. Absolutely.
100%. And especially if like those people that get irritated, they then start getting irritated their dogs, which then irritates me.
Yes.
But then I feel like I'm going to have to say something in a minute because they're getting a bit shitty with their dogs. Mm-hmm. And I hate that. You know, I don't like being hard on their dogs, especially when it's their fault. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mind correcting a dog if it's done something stupid, but there's correction and there's correction. And you can tell they're getting irritated, even if they're irritated at themselves. That's then going through to the dog, which then stresses the dog. Then they get more mistakes and it just all goes wrong. And then if I get irritated at someone, that then also feeds to the rest of the group. Mm-hmm. One person can destroy the seminar.
Yeah. Yep.
Or they may talk to another participant and then that transfers over. And then that's hard to go out and be on the line after you hear that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it's really important that people think about kind of self-check a little bit. So like, not everything's going to be sunshine and roses. Not everything's going to be really easy. And not everybody's going to be able to like there's sometimes you leave your turn in class or a seminar and you're like, well, that sucked. But you have to be able to figure out what you're going to do about it so that when you go back, that's not going to replicate or you're not going to bother other people, like go for a walk or whatever.
And that's why you also need to videotape it, because I'm sure it all didn't suck.
Yeah, definitely.
Such a good point.
Yeah, such a good point.
Yeah.
Because you look back and you just think it was so awful. You look back and you go, oh, actually, you know what? It really wasn't that bad. I just felt like it was going bad. And it was like your go on the last go. Like we were having some mistakes.
Were we?
What you were doing there. There were a few mistakes. He was getting tired. I was like, let's just leave it for a minute and then come back.
I was actually getting stressed on the sidelines.
Were you?
We were all getting stressed. Getting stressed.
I don't feel like I was stressed.
No, you were okay.
You were not stressed.
You were good.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. I did know that my dog needed a break too. And I appreciate you being able to say, okay.
I should have made you break one go earlier.
Yeah.
And I knew that.
I agree.
I thought we'd just get that one success because I wanted you to finish on a success. And I should have just gone break and then come back. Oh. But I did it. And then I was like, damn it. So then I did make you a break.
I can't remember if I was videoing or not your turn, because I think I said in the video, man, Dave really wants her to have a win.
And I could hear you on the side going, she's gassed. And I was like, well, she knows I should stop. She knows I should stop. I just want one more.
I'm so sorry.
So I was like, okay, yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
But we did put him away and I did come back out.
And he was good. Yes. He just had a couple of baths, but he was literally dead.
He was dead.
What we say for gas.
Yeah.
No, knackered.
Language barrier. Knackered. Yeah.
He sure was knackered.
He was knackered.
He was knackered. It doesn't sound the same when we say it.
Yeah. It was a lot.
Knackered.
It was. He puts in so much, doesn't he? He's a cool boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really good. Yeah, I think the weekend was really, really great. I think it's important, you know, if you are, like people listening, if you don't always have the same opportunities to have like be surrounded by good attitudes when you're at school, at your classes or whatever, I think it's important to
find that.
Yeah. I like don't necessarily like the point of doing agility is to be enjoying it. So if you're not at a place where you feel like you're enjoying it or like getting, it's a bit social too. Like obviously we don't do agility just for fun. And I don't really like when people say that, but if you say that and that's how you feel, great, but that's not what I do it.
No.
I want to do it because I want to be really freaking good at it.
I want to win.
I want to be the best.
I want to win everything.
I want to win everything. And it's much more fun when you're winning. No, just kidding.
It is. It is though.
But I do think that a lot of it is the enjoyment of the social aspect and like the people that you're with and the vibe that you're in and the energy that you have and having that balance of like people who are pushing you to be really good, but then also like you can laugh about it at the same time. So I think it is important that if this is a place that you, this is a sport that you really like, you should try to find your people, try to find your herd.
Oh, definitely. We've got, I've got such a good group of friends at home. Mock each other, take the piss out of each other all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when someone's, if we're going to a seminar with someone else, you know, we're always supporting and laughing each other. And, you know, they do, don't, if they can't do something stupid goes wrong, we're like, oh my God, what the hell? You can't even do that. Like, you know, we really, and it's, it just makes such a better atmosphere to have a laugh about it. Rather, of course we get stressed sometimes. I'm not saying we never get stressed and we never get upset with what our dogs are doing and think, oh, they should have been able to do that. Of course we do. But you have to reflect on it and go, right, well, I'm a dog trainer. Like, I say that a lot, like, to our group of friends, because we think, oh, you know, we're training something. They should just do it. They should do it. They know it. But eventually, if it goes wrong a few times, I say, right, guys, let's just be dog trainers here.
Yep.
Stop just trying to lump it and let's break it down. They obviously don't know it. And let's just make it better. Like, that's the whole point of training. That's why training's fun.
Sometimes you just have a shitty day.
Yeah, God, yeah, we all do.
But it's good to have that friend say, yes. Hey.
You, I know.
You need a moment.
We all get a bit irritated at our dogs sometimes.
Take a walk.
Exactly. Yeah.
You need a break.
100%. Like, you know, people think, oh, you know, they're perfect. They never get irritated. But we do. And we need your friend there to go, you know what? You're getting a bit irritated at the dog. Yeah. They can sense it. They don't like it. Just take a break from it. And you go away. You think, oh, gosh.
Or you lose focus.
That. Yeah. It's not like we're, you know, smacking them or getting on their case like that. But you just, they can feel that irritation.
They can.
Like Susan, my young dog, she... if I'm annoyed at anything, she would just go half speed. And I'm like, oh, idiot. Like, idiot and for me for getting annoyed.
Yeah, and then sometimes when that happens, then you're like, oh, she's going half speed because I'm this. And then
and
it's
I'm more
like,
annoyed at myself.
Yeah, and then she's worse. Exactly, it's like a vicious circle.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I remember those days of Funky and Wink were exactly like that. And it was like you just couldn't really power out of it until you kind of figured out that you
and they know
couldn't
when you
do
it.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a vicious circle, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Better just to go away. Like, I can't train her. If I'm in at all a bad mood that day, I just don't train her because I know it'll go through to her.
Yeah.
If it all goes right, it might put me in a good mood. But if it goes wrong, it might make it worse and she'll feel it. But, you know, I've got other dog like Boost. He actually prefers it when I'm in a mood.
That's so funny.
Because he's such a horrible little thing. He's like that. Yeah, we can have a fight.
I don't know if Jamie's ever done this, but I've definitely done this. Dave, have you ever... like not finished a competition weekend because you were like having just a bad weekend?
Oh yeah.
You have?
Oh yeah.
Like you've just quit altogether?
Just gone home. Yeah.
Really?
Like literally, a couple, very rare. Like,
I have as well, but I don't know many people that have.
I've had such, I'm just, everything's going wrong. I'm in a shitty mood and I say, I just want to, I just don't compete for this weekend and just chill, have a drink. And just,
that's what you did.
I went and had a cry in my car first.
Yeah.
I called my mom.
Do you have a meltdown?
I had a meltdown.
All your friends got angry at you because you're having a meltdown. You think, oh, God, just let me get away for a minute. And then I just think, I'm just not going to do agility for the rest of the weekend.
That's what I did too.
I need to do it. Like, I'm just going to enjoy being with my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't have to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to get angry at myself. I don't get angry at the courses.
Yep.
I can just have a chill that weekend.
Yeah, I did. I did the same thing. And I actually felt like ever since I did do that, that was quite a few years ago now. I feel like because I know that that's an option, I've almost been better since then. Because it's kind of like, I always tell myself, it's only agility. Yeah. Who the hell cares?
Exactly.
Whatever. Like, I'm supposed to be enjoying myself right now, so whatever.
Well, to start with, you think, oh, next one will go better. Next one will go better. And then it goes worse.
It goes worse.
And you're like, oh, shit.
Lifeline.
It's not going better. Kill me now. So then it's just easier just to chill out and not do it. And then if you feel better the next day, maybe have another go. But not until you're chilled. Calm down.
Absolutely. We're talking about us being the one with the bad attitude. And then working towards that. But I know that it can be challenging. How do you guys feel about when you are at competitions and you're not the one with a bad attitude, but like people around you, either that you're close to, which is more difficult, or like outside people? How do you both feel about that? And how do you typically respond to that?
Avoid.
You're an avoider.
I always try to make people feel better. So I try and encourage them not to be in bad mood. I'm like, it's
so
okay.
Nice.
Like,
that is so you, Dave.
I'm like, it's all right.
Jamie is like, I avoid them.
I avoid
them. Don't come near me. You'll put me in a bad mood. It's a selfish, Jamie. It's a selfish.
Jamie doesn't like confrontation.
No. I want to try my foot. I go through the rounds like that bit was good and that bit was good. Like try and take the positives because I know how I would feel if I was in that state. So I try and encourage them. It doesn't always work, but I try and encourage them that it's not as bad as they think and the next run will go better. Yeah. So, and it is hard because if, you know, if Dan, especially my partner, is in having a bad weekend, I feel bad for him. So I want him to not have a bad weekend.
I feel like that when it's
Jane. Yeah, I think it's different with when it's you, but I mean like other people that maybe I'm not as close with. But sometimes she needs a moment.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely. Oh yeah, I know when Dan comes out, I need to just not go and talk to him.
Yeah.
Like, but then sometimes I get told off for not talking to him. I never quite know. I always get it wrong. Generally, I always get it wrong, whatever I do.
The opposite to what you think you should do.
Absolutely, yeah. Whatever. I try and let some other friends, I go like, no, go. tapping you in.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that I will try to help people as well, but I think it's person dependent. Yeah. It depends on like what their track record is. Mm-hmm. Because if there's someone who I think that I won't be able to rally back very easily, and if I think it's going to take a lot from me to help them, I sometimes will let that go, as terrible as that sounds, mm-hmm. because sometimes it's like, then I end up being really affected by that. And then I don't do a good job because I'm so worried about that person having a bad time. But if I think it's like something that I could go in and be like, hey, like either buck up and like get over yourself, get back out there, or same thing you did, like actually like you're focusing on the negative, but there was like 10 things that were actually really awesome. So like you need to focus on that. Then I'll do that. But it's totally person dependent and like the turnaround time.
Yeah. I remember EOs one year. I was having an awful year and I wasn't being picked for the team that year. Long story, but I was just in a really bad space. And I was so selfishly wanted the team not to do well because I hadn't been picked. Really awful, wasn't it? Because I felt like I should have been.
Yeah.
And they did do well. And I really wanted to be happy for them because Dan was in the team his first ever year. And I was happy for them, but also really like horribly jealous in a horrible way. It was awful. I just took myself away. I just went away for the rest of the day. I was like, I said, well done to them.
I'm in a bad place.
I was in a bad place. I went off, had a cry with my friend, Sean. She was like, get a grip, sort yourself out. It's fine. And then I really messed up that EOS and then got my headspace back completely, went to world champs and won a medal. Because I just had thought to myself, what the hell were you doing? Mm-hmm. Get a grip. It's agility. Like, be happy for other people, which I generally really am. It was just that year was just bad for lots of reasons. And pulled myself together a few months later. And everything changed. And because I was, again, not on the team for the individuals, for the world champs either, but I was like in the individuals, I thought you messed up the O's because of your state of mind. And I just flicked it around. I got such a bad state that the only way to go was up. And it was, sometimes you just need that.
Attitude is just, it literally is everything. And like, we've done podcasts before on like, you know, mental management and like how to get yourself in a mind frame, like to compete better. But it goes hand in hand to what we're talking about, because if you have a bad attitude yourself, or if you're surrounded by people who are kind of putting you off or they get you in a bad zone, it will affect everything about your weekend, right down to what you do with your dog. So it is really important. I mean, you have a really tight group over in England, and I know that, and I think that's amazing. And James and I do too. Yeah. And I think that that's really helped us, eh, James? Because I mean, I love lots of people in agility, and I am very social. I talk to lots of people while I'm at events, but I really sort of surround myself with a very small group of people, because I know I can be myself around them. I know that they'll keep me in check. I know that they'll build me up. I know that they'll make me feel better. Like they are everything that I need them to be. And then it just makes the whole weekend better. And I think if you can find literally one person, doesn't even need to be a group. We're lucky. We have a group of people, but even if it's just one person, even if it's a family member that doesn't even do agility, like that can kind of be your person to help you through the weekend. I think that can be such an advantage.
We all have bad days. Like I very much want to take myself away, but I'm very good at, I'm bad for like 10 minutes to half an hour, but then I literally start thinking, right, how am I going to make that better? I'm very good at flicking myself out of it.
Recognize when I'm not in good space.
And I just try not to.
Feeling.
I know, I hate it. I don't want to infect everyone else with it. So I like to have a little moan. Then I like to think, right, now how am I going to improve on that? How am I going to make that now? How am I going to change that? Like, what am I going to do at training to make sure that doesn't happen again? I'm very much a problem solver. I don't want to just focus on negatives. I want to think, well, how am I going to fix it? Then half an hour later, I snapped out of it. Right, I'm on to the next thing now.
Yep.
I've taught myself to be like that.
Yeah. I think it takes a while, especially if you're newer in the sport.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a while to not let like other people's attitudes affect you, especially when you're course walking or whatever, and you just see, like, hear people bitching and complaining about things. I just don't have time for that anymore. Like, it's like, you just got to let that go.
Yeah.
Bitch and complain all you want, but do it over there.
Yeah, I'm a nice bitch and complain, but yeah. I do it quieter.
Yeah. Jamie and I have this thing. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but we have this thing called the Bitter Barn. Mm-hmm. And it's like this. It's a place that we create at a competition where we are allowed to go to this place. It could be like in a stall, it could be in our car, it could be like in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
You go by yourself, you're not allowed taking your dog, and you can have like a cry, a swear, you can kick shit, you can do whatever you want and get it all out.
This space.
But once you leave the space,
you're out of it.
You cannot, you can't bring it up again. No. Like, you're done now, move on. And it's really helpful.
One of that was what you said, they're really important, is that I never have a strop around my dogs.
Yes.
I always, if I'm going to have a strop, I'm happy the dogs get reward whatever do.
What are you saying?
What?
A strop?
A strop.
What's a strop? Like a meltdown?
Yeah.
Like a
stroppy, you know, like a stroppy teenager, like, being really shitty about things. And,
oh, I've never heard that word.
Oh my God.
I like it.
Tootie.
A strop. A
strop.
An attitude.
Oh, an attitude. They said a duty.
Okay.
Oh, I don't have one of those.
Okay, so we're not stropping. Is stropping a word?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, yeah, okay, okay, got it.
Or being stroppy.
Oh, yeah. There's so many.
Stropping and stroppy. So, yeah. I don't know a strop at the dog.
Yeah, okay. We're like that though too. Like, I know if, like, she'll know if a run didn't go well for me or vice versa, and pass off the dog.
Yeah.
We literally don't even have to say anything to each other.
Oh yeah, same with Dan. I'll just take the dog.
Because it's not about the dog. You're just, sometimes you're just so disappointed in yourself.
It's always more myself.
Yeah, I'm very so rarely mad stuck, at myself.
Or just the shitty course I just had to try and run. And then I really am mad at the judge. I'm like, right, I'm fucking judge.
Like, maybe I need to go to the Bitter Barn.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to start having one.
Yeah.
You should. Barn.
And I think also, like, it puts a little bit of humor into it.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes I'll, like, look at her face and I'm like, do you need to go to the Bitter Barn? She's like, yep, yeah, I'll see you in 10 minutes. And then she just, like, stomps away.
Strops off.
And if it's at the end of the day, one of us will, like, come to the other person with, like a beer or something, a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Are you done your Bitter Barn? I have wine for you. It's so nice, though.
It's so good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think attitudes, I think attitude is really important. I think, as we've discussed, it affects people around you. It affects your dogs. It affects your ability to learn, your ability to grow. I don't think it has anything to do with the level of competitor or trainer or whatever you are. I think that if everybody was just a little bit more aware of their, how the vibe that they're giving off, I think that agility would be a little bit easier. Mm. I don't know about you, but in our country, 98% of agility, and I hate to say this, is women, which means there's just a lot more catty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just,
we have a lot of women, and I know.
Yeah, and it can be challenging at times, but I think if everybody was just a bit more aware.
Mm.
I mean, for the most part, we don't have too much trouble with it, do we?
No.
But I know it can be a thing, and I know that there's some people, like, if you're a sensitive person, it can be really challenging to be around that type of thing when you're already feeling a little comfortable or you're intimidated by something. Like, sometimes I love when, like, people get out of the ring and their first thing, someone's like, oh yeah, you would, like, that was a bad off course, or that was a, you missed that contact or whatever. Oh. It's like, you know what? Not the time to say that. Like,
that is the worst.
It is. And it takes a long time.
Yeah,
it does. It takes a long time to be able to hear it and then go, that's really fucking irritating. However, like, I'm not going to let it bug me. It takes a while to get to that place. You have to have a lot of self-confidence. You have to, like, but not everybody is like that. And that can be really upsetting to people. I know people that have gone home because, like, other people are just being not very supportive. And I just don't understand that.
It happens all over the world.
I know.
Definitely happens all over the world. And that whole coming out and someone just saying that one thing, even if they're not even meaning it in a bad way, but it can really just wind you up.
No.
I've learned just to go, yeah. Just
sometimes it's better to say nothing
at
all.
Then I go and say to Dan, I can fuck that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I try to keep, you know, and people know not to do it really, but they sometimes just can't help that little comment.
I know.
Like, to our friend
group. Or they think they're trying to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
or trying to be helpful.
They're not reading the room.
No.
I think we can generally say it to our group of friends now quite well. Depends on how important the run was.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yes.
So true.
I'm definitely very, the women me and Dan have in our group of friends are very strong women. very, we're obviously attracted to that kind of woman, like, right? I like, you know, they've got
a, I like an a opinion. Strong woman.
They've got an opinion. So, you know, and that's can, it, yeah, well, I forgot what I was trying to say about that now. No, it's gone.
It's gone.
But it was important about, you know, you were saying about the cattiness, and they're very strong, and they can deal with, they can deal with a lot of that kind of stuff. They're very, they're, you know, we're all very,
they're
strong
more of
people.
A thick skin.
Yeah, definitely. And even if they get, they'd rather get angry. We're all the kind of people that would rather get annoyed than oversensitive about something. You know, we do, of course we get sensitive, but we're all very strong people. And I think that helps us be who we are. Definitely. Yeah.
And I think even if you probably, if you had somebody who was not as much that way, if you're surrounded by people that respond to things a certain way, it helps build them up a little bit.
Influences for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we should start to wrap this up. What do you think our moral of the story is?
Have a good attitude.
Thanks, Jim.
Oh God, be funny. Have a laugh.
Yeah, don't take things too seriously.
Yes, that's it. Don't take things too seriously.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to be uncomfortable, to learn.
Yes, allow yourself to be vulnerable.
Allow yourself failures as well. Mm-hmm. Don't be upset by it, learn from it. Mm-hmm. Learn from failure.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I think that that also makes like a really good competitor, somebody who is able to, like, I know, I'm sure you guys are exactly the same as this, but if I, like this weekend, there was like a couple things that I found that I think I have little holes in. And now, instead of being like, oh, I'm so disappointed that I have holes, I'm like, I can't wait to get out there. Like, I just, I can't wait. Like, tell me. I think I said to you, what do you think my biggest flaw is? And they say that to you on Friday or Saturday. I'm like, what do you think my biggest flaw is right now with this dog? Yeah. And you were able to say, okay, I think it's this and this and this. And I didn't take offense to it. I was like, I'm so grateful that I have somebody that we do this to each other all of the time, but having outside eyes to, for the both of us to say, like, hey, this is what I think your biggest hole is right now. It's so awesome because now I feel like, okay, now I can maybe even go up another level. I can get even better than what I am. Like, I just find that so exciting.
Feedback. Not everyone's open to that kind of feedback, right?
Yeah.
But you've got to have strong people come teach because you're, you know, who you are, so well known, you know, you've done so well. You know, I've got to be a confident person to be able to come in and teach you. Same when people come and teach me. You know, it's hard to teach someone who is has done as well as they have because it can be intimidating.
Yeah.
So, you know, but and that's the kind of people I like to go to teach me, that people aren't going to be worried about telling me that I'm shit at something.
Yeah.
I want to hear that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to just be, you know, ass licked all the time. I want someone to say, that was crap. That needs to be better.
Yeah.
Because you can get into a rut of just thinking, oh, it's okay. It's good enough.
Yeah.
But then it's not.
Yeah, we were saying in the car the other day, weren't we, about like how we feel like we could teach anybody.
Yeah, I really do.
Because it's not about I'm better than you and you're better than me. It's about bringing something different to the table or having somebody look at things from a different perspective.
It's a different eye, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like, okay, Kel, you need to do everything the way I do it now. You're like, here's my perspective. Take it. See what you
Take
think about
what you
it.
Want from it.
Exactly.
It's also setting up different sequences too. Like,
yeah, different. We were talking about that in the car this morning.
Yeah.
About how we just set up different styles because me and Dan even set up different styles.
Yeah.
So we try and run each other's courses because we know that if I always set up my style, it's not what I'm going to get at a show all the time.
Yeah.
So we do try and set up other people's courses as much as we can rather than just our own all the time.
I told him that one in the summer, we're going to, like, for my lesson plans during the week and his lessons during the week.
You're gonna swap?
We're going to swap for a week.
It means I've got to actually make a lesson.
I know, because we were always talking. It's hilarious because he's like, you're so organized. You make all these lessons and he just puts things out. And I want to be more like him.
And I think I should be more like him.
I know. I was like, oh, that sounds so carefree. I spend hours on my lessons.
Oh my God. No. I just like to chuck things out and then throw some numbers out.
You shouldn't tell us when you do it.
No. What?
You should tell us when
you do
it.
To see if you could see that it's his and not mine.
Yeah, so this is different.
This is different.
Yeah. Okay, that's fun.
We should do that.
That is really fun. Yeah. That's really cool. That's really cool.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, I think we have another topic coming, which is actually becoming a good segue from what we're talking about, since we're talking about multiple instructors. So we'll let you listen to the next episode to see what it's all about. But on that note, I hope everybody just thinks a little bit more about how they feel, what vibe they put off when they're in different locations. And I also hope that you find your people at training or wherever, because I think that if you're surrounded by people that are going to push you and that are going to make you feel better, that you're actually going to probably get better in agility yourself, and you're probably going to enjoy it a lot more. I think that that's really, really, really important.
Good wrap up.
Thank you.
Good job, Gail.
On that note, well, talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our McCann Dogs Agility Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out the links in the show notes below. On that note, happy training.